Amen. If you have a Bible, would you open to the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 2. Welcome. My name is Jody Sledge. I'm one of the pastors here. It's my joy to be preaching God's word for us. We started a few weeks before the new year a series in the book of Hebrews. It's in the New Testament called Jesus is Better. If you want to know what this letter is about, it's about that. Jesus is better. That's the heartbeat of our church. That's really what this whole world exists to say, that Jesus is better. And so in Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4 and thinking about what it means to pay closer attention to the gospel. So let's read God's word together, starting in chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witnesses by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning, God, and we want to just pause and ask that You would speak to us from Your word. God, we've already sang such wonderful truths. We've confessed our sins to You and confessed the ways that we struggle to believe and to rest and to trust in the gospel, Lord. And so I pray, Lord, that You would speak to us so that we might truly believe that all of us need to pay more and more attention to the good news of Jesus. Help us not to think that, well, I already know that, or I've already heard that, or yeah, I believe that years ago. Help us to see that we need to press into the gospel each and every moment of every day of the rest of our lives. God, show us this from Your word, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, pay attention. I got your attention, didn't I? That's what the author of Hebrews is trying to do for us today, to get us to pay attention. I'm sure we can all think of situations in our lives where it's important for us to pay attention. Some of you youth are learning to drive. You need to pay attention to everything around you when you're driving. You're going through training for a new job. You've got to pay attention to the training. Those of you students who are sitting in class, you've got to pay attention to the teacher. If you're cooking, you have to pay attention to the recipe. When there's ice on the roads and sidewalks, we got to pay attention so that we don't slip and fall. Maybe some of you are kids here today and mom or dad has already told you, hey, you need to stop talking and pay attention. We all have been told to pay attention, and we know what happens when we don't pay attention, right? It can be bad if we don't pay attention. You can get into a car accident. You can mess up at your new job. You can fail your class. You can burn the casserole that you worked so hard on. You can slip and fall on the ice. You can get in trouble with mom or dad for not paying attention in church. It's bad when we don't pay attention. And listen, we can be in a dangerous place when we think we don't need to pay attention. And that's especially true when it comes to the gospel. You see, Christ Fellowship Church is a gospel-centered church. It says so on our website, right? We preach the gospel. We pray the gospel. We sing the gospel. We know the gospel. But there is a danger in being so familiar with the gospel. And the danger is that believing that because we know it, we don't have to really pay much attention to it. And so, brothers and sisters, we've come to God's word in Hebrews 2, and God is calling us to pay much closer attention to the gospel. And He's going to tell us why. You see, drifting away from the gospel is easier than we may think. The stakes of neglecting the gospel are higher than we may think. And the gospel message itself is more crucial than we may think. So it's my goal for us today to help us see why we must pay closer attention to the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm praying that God would help us spend the rest of our lives paying closer and closer attention to the gospel. So notice first that drifting is easier than we think. Drifting is easier than we think. So chapter 2 begins with a conclusion from chapter 1. If you remember, the beginning of the letter in chapter 1 started with this beautiful poem about Jesus. This beautiful description of who he is and what he's done. And the rest of the chapter, which we saw last week, is showing us how Jesus is better than the angels. Look back at verse 14 of chapter 1, talking about the angels. He says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" The angels minister to us. Jesus saves us. He's better than the angels. And so that's why chapter 2 begins with this word, therefore. Read the rest of it. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. You know, we haven't talked much yet about the background of this letter. And understanding some things about the letter will help us understand it more. You see, we don't really know who wrote this letter. We know that he knew the apostles of Jesus. We know that he knew Timothy. He seems to be some sort of a church leader with a deep knowledge of the Old Testament and a deep knowledge of the gospel. Others, and I like to use this word, call him the pastor. Sounds a lot better than the author of Hebrews, right? And it reminds us that this is a pastoral letter. At the end, in chapter 13, he calls it a brief word of exhortation. That word exhortation means to urge someone to do something. And that's exactly what he's doing in these verses. You see, he wants the people who receive this letter to pay closer attention to the gospel. You see, we also don't know much about who he wrote this letter to. There's no specific church mentioned, no specific city. We don't really know who got this letter, but it's obvious that they knew a lot about the Jewish faith. More than likely, they were Jews who believed in Jesus as their Savior. That's why the letter is called Hebrews. They were Hebrew Christians. But we know from the letter also that they're suffering for their faith. We see that later in chapter 10. And because they were suffering for their faith, there was a great temptation to just give up on Jesus and go back to their Jewish religion. You might be thinking, why are you talking about all of this? It's important because that's what this whole letter is about. These Jewish believers are suffering for following Jesus, and because of that, they are tempted to give up on Jesus. They're thinking, man, life was a lot easier when we were just Jews. Maybe we should go back to being just Jews. Maybe we should give up on Jesus. Maybe following Jesus is really not worth it. But the pastor is writing this letter to them to say, Jesus is worth it. He's worth suffering for. Jesus is better than anything that the Jewish religion could give to us. Jesus is better than anything this world can give to us. He's calling them to not give up on Jesus, to cling to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's why he says here in verse 1, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard. God has finally and fully spoken to us in Jesus. And so we must pay much closer attention to that word. He's saying to them, don't give up on the gospel. That word gospel means the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the story of his life and his death and his resurrection to bring salvation to sinners. And God is calling us today to pay attention to that message too. You might say, why? Why does he want us? Look at the rest of verse 1. He says, lest we drift away from it. That word drift is a term that refers to a boat that's not anchored down. Pretty soon it's going to drift out to sea. It can also refer to a ring that easily slips off your finger. Your translation might say, lest we slip away from it. And I think we get the imagery both ways, don't we? There's a danger if we don't pay close attention. We don't want to be a boat drifting out to sea. We don't want to be a ring slipping off a finger. If we don't pay attention to the gospel, we are in danger of drifting away from it. And brothers and sisters, the drifting is far easier than we might ever think. You know, I don't think anybody wakes up on a Monday morning and thinks, you know what? I think I'm going to give up on Jesus today. Church was great yesterday. My gospel group has been so good lately. I've been blessed by my time reading the Word, blessed in prayer. The gospel has been ministering to my soul, but it's Monday morning. Might as well do something new. Let's just deny Jesus and give up on the gospel. That never happens. A boat without an anchor doesn't just end up in the middle of the ocean one day. It has to drift there. See, when someone walks away from Jesus, you can look at their life and you can see the drift. Maybe they stopped gathering with God's people. Maybe they started dating an unbeliever. Maybe they started partying too much with their friends. Maybe they let their heart grow numb to the Lord. When someone gives up on the gospel, you can see the drift in their life. And even if they're hiding it, it's there. And listen, this can happen to anyone. We've seen pastors and Christian leaders denying the faith. We see Christian musicians and influencers give up on the gospel. We've seen countless people around us deconstruct their faith and leave the gospel behind. I've seen friends walk away from Jesus. I've seen people who were members of this church say they would rather pursue their sin than Christ. I've sat with people who said they just don't care anything about Jesus anymore. And listen, it's not like we saw any of that coming. It's not like we have a list of like, these are the people who are probably going to deny the gospel one day. Most of these people seem to love Jesus. They seem to believe the gospel. But something happened at some point in their life that started them drifting away from the gospel. Some sort of suffering or some sin or some person in their life. And eventually they gave up on Christ. And this is why God's word is calling us today to pay much closer attention to the gospel. To pay attention to what we've heard so that we don't drift away from it. You know, I was on a trip in college in Brazil, and we went to the beach one day, and this beach had the strongest tide that I think I've ever swam in my life. You would be out there in the ocean swimming, and before you knew it, you would just be so far down the beach. Like, it was so strong that we would have to just swim for a couple of minutes and then walk all the way back to the beach and then go back to where our group was. It's like if we weren't paying attention, we would just be so far down the beach. And we had to do this over and over and over. See, the drift was a lot easier than we thought. And so, brothers and sisters, God is calling us to pay attention to the gospel. He's calling us to get out of the tides of life and to walk back to Jesus again and again and again. We have to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. We have to draw near to Jesus and in His word and in prayer every day. We have to proclaim the gospel to the people in this room, our brothers and sisters in Christ, every day. We have to cling to Jesus and his salvation. We have to every single day trust in his life and his death and his resurrection. We have to tell ourselves every single day that Jesus is and always will be better. Brothers and sisters, the drifting is far easier than we might think. So let's pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. The drifting is easier than we think. Number two, notice that the stakes are higher than we think. So our passage continues to show us what's at stake should we neglect the gospel. Listen to verse 2. He says, "For since the message declared to angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution." What's he talking about? He's talking about the law of Moses, the Old Testament law. He calls it the message declared by angels. You see, the Jews believed that God gave Moses the law through angels. And so that helps us see why they're fixated on them. They didn't think the angels were just cool. They worshiped the angels in connection to their obedience of the law of Moses. And listen, the law of Moses was good. He calls it reliable. It was God's direct revelation through Moses. It was the terms of God's covenant with Israel. And those who broke those terms were punished. You can read about this in the Old Testament. He says they received a just retribution. When Israel broke the law of Moses, they were rightly and justly punished. And so the pastor is making an argument here from a lesser to a greater. He's already showed us in chapter 1 that the gospel and Jesus are better than Moses and better than the Old Testament law. So if you think about it like this, if those who neglected the Old Testament law were punished and the gospel is better, how much more of a punishment will there be for those who neglect the gospel message? Do you see the argument he's making? The law was good and God punished those who broke it. The gospel is better and God will bring a greater punishment on those who neglect it. That's what he says in verse 3. Look at verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? The worst punishment under the law of Moses was death. But to neglect the gospel will bring eternal punishment of everlasting death. Eternal punishment away from the goodness and the presence of God. You see, the stakes here are even higher than we might think. There's this terrible idea that somehow God is worse in the Old Testament. The Old Testament God is angry and he wants to kill everybody, but the New Testament God is loving and he wants to welcome everyone. Listen, God never changes. God is always and always will be loving and just. So don't miss what the pastor is saying. It's worse to deny the gospel than it is to break the law of Moses. It's worse to reject Jesus than it is to break any of the Ten Commandments. Because listen, eternity is at stake here. When we break the law, there's forgiveness and there's a means for that. But if you turn your back on Jesus, there is no hope for you. God's not a big softy who's going to feel bad for people on the day of judgment. The Bible is clear. God will either accept you in Jesus or he will condemn you in your sin. Those are the only options. And so if we give up on Jesus, we're giving up on our only hope of salvation. And really, that's the point of these verses. God is calling us to never stop hoping in Jesus. You know, this is the first of many warning passages in the book of Hebrews. That's what many people call them, these warning passages. And they can be easy to misunderstand. Some people will read these passages and think that he's saying you can lose your salvation. There are going to be some later in the letter that will be even more challenging than these verses. But we know from other parts of the Bible that salvation is a work of God in us through Christ. And we as a church believe that once God has genuinely began that work of salvation, he will see it to completion. We will not lose what God has given to us as a gift. So you might think, well then, what exactly is he trying to say? What's he trying to do? If you can't lose your salvation, then what's the point in warning people here in these verses? Well, think about it like this. Our kids love to play in our front yard. They'll ride bikes up and down the sidewalk. We'll throw baseball in the front yard. They'll shoot basketball in our driveway. And if a ball rolls out into the street and Asher, our little six-year-old, runs out there in the middle of the street to get the ball, you're probably going to hear his mother shout something like this: "Get out of the street. You will be hit by a car." Asher hears his mother yell this, and he runs back into our yard and comes up to his mother and says, "Mommy, you told me I would be hit by a car." "I didn't get hit by a car." And what would she say? "Yeah, because you got out of the street. You did what I said. You got out of the street. You heard the warning, and the warning worked. It brought you to safety." The warning passages in the book of Hebrews are intended to help genuine Christians continue in their faith. God's using this warning to help us preserve our faith. Here's a great quote from a book on the letter of Hebrews. It says this: "Warnings are not designed to rob people of hope, but to steer them away from danger in order to preserve them so that they might persevere and inherit what has been promised." This letter is warning us of the greater judgment so that we would not neglect the gospel. And he's not warning us so that we would do it or could do it. He's warning us so that we won't do it. So we must never forget that the worst thing we can ever do is walk away from Jesus. There's a lot of terrible things that we can do, a lot of sin we can commit against one another and against God. But the worst thing that we could do is give up on Jesus. There's grace. There's forgiveness in Christ when we sin. But if there ever comes a day when we stop trusting in the gospel, there's no hope. Only eternal punishment. Only those in Christ in the end will be saved. So brothers and sisters, don't stop believing in the gospel. Keep hoping in Christ and in Christ alone. Cling to the good news of Jesus every single day. I love what author Jerry Bridges says in his book, Disciplines of Grace. He says, "Your worst days are never so bad that you're beyond the reach of God's grace. And your best days are never so good that you are beyond the need of God's grace." Maybe you're sitting here today and you feel the weight of this warning. Well, I guess that's me. I guess I'm going to neglect the gospel. I guess in the end, I'm going to face eternal punishment. These verses are here to warn you, but not to rob you of hope. And listen, there's no hope in you, but there's all the hope that you need in Jesus. Hear the warning today and cling to the hope that you have in Christ. Your worst days are never so bad that you're beyond the reach of God's grace. Maybe you're sitting here today and you feel like this warning is for someone else. Man, I wish they were here to hear this message today. Friend, this warning is for you too. No one is good enough or strong enough to keep themselves in Christ. even on the days when we're just nailing the Christian life, we are utterly dependent upon the mercy of Jesus. So hear the warning today and cling to the gospel of Jesus. Your best days are never so good that you're beyond the need of God's grace. And maybe you're here today and you've never trusted in the gospel. You need to hear this warning today too. God will not only punish those who walk away from Jesus, God will punish those who never believe in Jesus. He punishes us because of our sin. We're all sinners, and the only hope of salvation is Jesus. That's it. And so if you would repent and believe in Jesus today, you can be saved. You can be forgiven. You can know the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So hear the warning today and cling to the good news of Jesus. Friends, the stakes are higher than we may think, so let's trust in Jesus and let's never stop. Notice number three, the gospel is more crucial than we think. So our passage moves on in these last few verses to show us why the gospel message is so important. He gives us three reasons why we can trust the reliability of the gospel message. Listen to the second half of verse 3 and verse 4. He says, "It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." So first, this message came to us from the Lord, from Jesus Christ himself. In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, we read this. "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Jesus declared the good news of the kingdom of God, a message of repentance and of salvation. Why should we never give up on the gospel? Because it came from Jesus himself. We didn't just make this up. Jesus proclaimed the message. Second, this message was spread to us by the apostles. The pastor mentions there in verse 3, "those who heard." It was attested to us by those who heard. This is a reference to the witnesses of Jesus. The apostles were those men who were witnesses of the resurrection and who were sent to go and tell everyone what had happened to Jesus. He says they attested to us the message. That's the same root word as reliable up in verse 2. This was a reliable message by the men who were there and saw Jesus alive. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 15. Lance read it at the beginning of the service. Jesus was crucified, he was buried, and he was risen on the third day, and people saw him alive. He appeared to Peter and the rest of the 12 disciples. He appeared to his brother James and the rest of the apostles. He appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. Jesus even appeared at one time to almost 500 men. And Paul says when he writes 1 Corinthians, most of them are alive. Go ask them if he really rose from the dead. You see, there's this growing idea that the story of Jesus is just a myth. All this stuff about Jesus is just made up. Fairy tales, bedtime stories. That's all this is. Some people believe that the stories of Jesus were just created over the centuries and they developed. One author says there's only a 0 to 33% chance that Jesus actually existed. I'm glad he's got the math worked out on that one. 0 to 33%. Is that really what happened? This, the story of Jesus just kind of grow and this fairy tale developed over time? Is all of this stuff just made up? The book of Hebrews says no. This letter was written no later than 40 years after Jesus. Even scholars who aren't Christians believe that this letter was written no later than 40 years after Jesus. And so the pastor is saying, listen, that we heard the gospel message from those people who were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Christ. They were there. They heard him. They saw him. And they told that message to us. The gospel is not a fairy tale. It's not a bedtime story that developed over time. It's the good news of events that really happened in our real world. The gospel is reliable because it was spread by those who were there. And third, he says the gospel is reliable because God himself approved it. Verse 4 tells us that God himself bore witness to the truthfulness of the gospel. He did it with signs and wonders and miracles. He did it with gifts of the Holy Spirit. And all of these things were God's way of saying, listen to this message. The gospel message about Jesus is true. You see, the gifts of the Spirit were never the main thing. Don't listen to anyone who makes the gifts of the Spirit the main thing. They were God's way of witnessing to the power of the Spirit in Jesus, to the truthfulness of the gospel. That's what these verses are about. The gospel is true. And because the gospel is true, we must cling to it. We must pay closer attention to it. And listen, this is not just so we can prove the skeptics wrong. These verses are meant to give us confidence in the gospel. They're meant to show us just how crucial the good news of Jesus really is. And so listen, we're not a gospel-centered church just because that's the best method to grow a church these days. It's not just a catchy phrase that looks great on a website. The gospel is the only message of salvation, and it's more crucial than we may ever think. The gospel is not something that we move past in our Christian lives. It's not something we keep in our back pocket and pull out on Easter and Christmas. It's not just for unbelievers so they can be sure they can go to heaven one day when they die. The message of salvation in Jesus is everything for us. By trusting in the gospel, we're saved, we're forgiven, we're cleansed. By trusting in the gospel, we're strengthened and we're encouraged and we're made holy. By trusting in the gospel, we are kept by God, we're held in the love of Christ, and we will be welcomed home by our Savior. The gospel is more crucial than we may ever think. And so we must pay closer attention to it. You know, I remember a moment when a flood of doubts about the gospel just rushed over me. I've talked about this before. It wasn't because I was reading some book by some atheist or watching YouTube videos of people explain why Christianity is just dumb and wrong. No, we were sitting at our kitchen table eating dinner. And my son Eli, when he was little at the time, after we prayed, said, "Daddy, is God real?" I said, "Of course he's real." And his response was, "Why can't we see him?" And in that moment, just a flood of doubts just like rushed over me. I don't know, maybe God's not real. Maybe Jesus isn't real. Maybe all of this is just made up. Maybe I'm living for a lie. Maybe I'm wasting my life. being a pastor. I don't know. And God was gracious to me in that moment. And he reminded me of exactly what our passage is saying. The gospel is true. Jesus is real. He is alive. You can believe that. You can rest in that. You can treasure that truth. I don't know if you've ever had a moment like that. Maybe you have. Maybe you have them all the time. Maybe it comes from the question of an innocent child who's just curious. Maybe it comes from the schemes of Satan who is wanting to destroy you. Maybe it comes from the temptations of this world that just want to enslave you. Maybe it comes from the doubts deep down in your heart to believe that God really does love you. That God really could love you. Brothers and sisters, this is why the gospel is so crucial to us. This message reminds us that Jesus is real, that his salvation is ours, and that we are his forever. And that's why we must pay closer and closer attention to it. It's why we never get past the gospel. You've heard us say this many times. You and I need the gospel just as much as today as we did the first day that we believed it. We need the gospel when we're weak. We need the gospel when we're tempted. We need the gospel when we suffer. We need the gospel when life is crazy. We need the gospel when life is wonderful. We need the gospel when we feel like we're not enough. We need the gospel when we feel like we are enough. There's never a moment, and there will never be a moment that we don't need Jesus. And so that's why we must pay closer and closer and closer attention to the good news of Jesus Christ. Drifting away is far easier than we might think. The stakes are far higher than we might think. And the message of the gospel is more crucial than we might think. And so we must pay more and more and more and more attention to the gospel. Beloved, I truly believe that we will spend every moment of the rest of our lives faced with this question: is Jesus really better? Is he really better? And so, brothers and sisters, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard. We must cling to the gospel every moment of every day for the rest of our lives. And we must always believe and always trust and always treasure this truth that Jesus is better. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, even in these short verses, we're just reminded at how desperate we are for Jesus. Lord, forgive us, Lord, for thinking that we are strong enough or good enough or smart enough or holy enough to keep ourselves in the gospel. Lord, we know that it's only in Christ and because of Christ that we're here. So thank you for this passage. Thank you for warning us, God, of drifting away and the dangers of neglecting the gospel. Thank you for reminding us just how true the gospel is. So God, would you continue to bless us, continue to minister to us, Lord, so that we might cling to the hope that we have in Christ. That whatever we face, tomorrow morning or the morning after that or every morning for the rest of our lives, no matter what we face, as hard as it might be, God, would you help us to believe that Jesus truly is better? We pray these things in his name. Amen.